Blog Talk Radio.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to tear down every plan of the enemy. Hallelujah! Because we are the church.
Let the church unite.
Take back this country from the hand of the enemy.
Let the church unite.
Get up, stand up and fight. God's army is
light. Hey, hey, let the church unite. Together we stand, no weapon cannot conquer me. Let the church unite. Get up, stand up,
fight. It's time to take back our nation. It belongs to the God of creation. We are His church, He has given us a vision.
Let's come together.
Let's come together.
Well, good afternoon. And welcome, welcome to our dynamic radio broadcast entitled Come Together for Change. It is presented by our God-ordained ministries, which are Men in Search of Change and HWG Outreach Center for Change International. At this time, I would like to give a special welcome to all of our faithful listeners, our brand new listeners, and all our devoted prayer partners and supporters. We are successful and blessed because of you. Praise God. Today is Monday, August the 1st, 2016. And for all of those August birthdays, we just want to say happy birthday to everyone born in the month of August. Thank you so much. My name is Senior Chaplain Shalia Griffith, your co-host, together with my anointed and gifted husband, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith, the host of our radio broadcast, Come Together for a Change. You may listen to our broadcast wherever you are or via your telephone by simply dialing 646-200-0578 or on Facebook under Elder Hudson Griffith or Shalia Griffith. We are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So at this moment, I would want to encourage you to bless someone that means the very most to you. You can tweet them or text or call your family members, your friends, your coworkers, or just run next door to your neighbors and let them know, Come Together for Change is on the air right now in the blessed city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Know this, that you are very special to God. He sees and cares about everything that happens in your life. He will always hear you and answer your prayers, but only in His time frame. God wants to show Himself strong in and through you. He has given you His Holy Spirit to equip you in this life. You win battles that you don't even have to fight. Why? Because God fights them for you. This is the day, the set time, and the designated moment for you to experience the free favors of God. Amen, amen. We truly have an awesome blessing prepared for you straight from heaven today. So please, get out your pen, your notepad, your Bible, your plate, your fork, your napkin, and open up your mindset so that you can receive your spiritual food for this week. Just one announcement. For those of you who are praying with the Men in Search of Change, which is the Men's Coast to Coast prayer line, which is every Friday evening at 7:30 this Pacific Standard Time, there is a new numbers to call. So if you have your pen and paper, the call-in number, this is for all men, all ministers, all prayer warriors, all those that need prayer, all those that need to hear from God, all those that need a breakthrough, this is the number to call. Area code 515-604-9000. Again, the number is 515-604-9000. The PIN number is 450-080. Again, 450-080. And then after the call, if you want to play it back so you can hear it, that number to call is 515-604-9009. Thank you so much, and we just thank all the men who are coming together coast to coast around the United States and even some from out in the Caribbean to call and pray and send up prayers for all those men and policemen that need the touch of God and their families as well. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Our inspiration for this week, did you know that favor is looking for you? God is not waiting to bless you. He has already blessed you. There is favor with your name on it, healing with your name on it, health, promotion, finances with your name on it, and joy. It already belongs to you. When you start believing that it is yours, then you will receive the good things God has in store just for you. Stir up your faith and take hold of what belongs to you. Remember, God is on your side, and he desires only good things for you. God's favor is opening up new doors of opportunity for you. Get ready to receive them all. Favor is looking for you. Just believe God has already done what he said he's going to do. Now he is waiting on you. Ignite your faith right now in the mighty name of Jesus and receive your blessings today. Our topic for today, the value of the church. The value of the church. Our main scripture will be coming from St. Matthew's, the 16th chapter and 18th verse, and it reads as follows. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, at this time, I will be bringing you the speaker of the hour. It is my pleasure and my honor to introduce to some and to present to others my amazing, beloved husband and gifted speaker of today, the host of Come Together for Change, the anointed, blessed, powerful, and dynamic senior chaplain, Elder Hudson W. Griffith.
Thank you very much, Shalia. It's a wonderful privilege of mine to come your way and to know that Jesus Christ is alive. Now, that's a wonderful privilege that you can know, because according to what you know, you will do. If you know he's alive, you will be able to communicate with him. If you don't know he's alive, then you wouldn't communicate with him. So we have to be able to understand that Jesus is alive. And not only is he alive, but that he's coming soon. He's coming back for his people. So it's important that we understand that he's coming back for his people. And we just want to be able to be in touch with him. We just want to be able to do what he would have us to do. Now, today I'm talking about the value of the church. Now, there are lots of institutions in our community, and they all have their various values. There is Toastmasters Club, there is the Lions. There are so many social clubs, and they all have their particular things and areas of specialty. But the church, which is the body of Christ, has its value. And I want to talk to you today about its value, because some people think because they have had church hurts and they've had problems and difficulties that the church is no longer valuable to them. But the church is valuable to every one of us, because the church is not only there to give spiritual needs, but is there to give physical, to look after our physical needs as well, as we see in the early church. The early Christians looked after each other, and they were there in one accord. No man said what he had was his own. I know that somebody would say, well, that's not for today, because that can't happen. But I tell you something, there are lots of hungry people sitting in our churches and too proud to say that they don't have anything to eat. There are lots of people in our churches today who are too proud to say, I don't have any money to pay my rent, even though that's not a part. So even when they go to some pastors, the pastor says, well, we can't work with that because we don't even have enough money to pay our rent. So we have to look at the priorities of the church. What is the value of our church? Now, I want to expressly look at the fact that the church is not a value, because when Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, it was on the foundation of this rock. A rock is a solid foundation, and because he went on to say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, and then the church is so strong, then we would see believers who are filled with the Spirit, who've got the courage to go out and do things for the Lord, and we will see people coming to the Lord because their needs are being met. Every one of us have needs, and if our needs are being met, we'll be able to let our light shine. That's what Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And he said, you are the salt of the earth. Now, the salt, you know, salt is very important. It's a very important seasoning. Some of you can't eat your lunch without salt. Some of you can't, when you go to a restaurant or a hotel and the food has no taste because it's saltless, you will say, well, I need some salt to put into the food, because the salt will make it has some kind of seasoning and some kind of taste. And Jesus said, let your light shine, and that you are the salt of the earth. Well, your light is important, because if there is no light in your room at night, you will not be able to see. So if we are the light of the world, in other words, people should see through us the goodness of the Father. And people should be able to see and to feel through us that God is good, that God is directing our lives. But you know, there's a myth that the church is a building. We have a myth that we believe that God resides in the church building. Matter of fact, at the altar, you know, we have the feeling that that God resides in our church at the altar. But that's not true, because we have to read what the Word says. The Word in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I'll read that for you again. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So we see that the myth that God dwells in the building is not true. You say, well, where does he dwell? Well, you've got to read the Word to understand where he dwells, because his dwelling place is in our hearts, in our lives, in our bodies. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, we are going to see something there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 will help us to understand what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You see that? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Okay, so the Spirit of God is not dwelling in the church building. He's dwelling in each of us. that have called him into our lives, that have opened our hearts to him. So the church is a committed body of people who have the same thing in common. The Spirit of God is in them, and they come together in one accord and form the church. I'll give you another scripture that you will be able to see it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Okay, so we see that the Spirit of God dwells in us. How does he dwell in us? Because we invite him in, and because we invite him into our lives, we are part of the kingdom of God. And because, so the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not a material place. The kingdom of God is wherever the people of God unite together. On the day of Pentecost, we see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it explicitly says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So we see that the importance of the body of Christ or the church is that we are a united body. The church is a united body of people who look after the needs of each other. We not only look after the spiritual needs. Somebody think that the church is only a place to look after the spiritual needs. But man is body, soul, and spirit. And as such, he will have 7 developmental needs. And the church is there to cater to his physical needs where possible. The church is there to look after his spiritual needs. The church is there to look after his emotional needs. The church is there to help us in any way possible, because we have to recognize that the church is the people and not the building. As we say, God doesn't dwell in buildings. And there was never a church building that was erected in those days. But and now we see that the emphasis is placed on the buildings and not on people. Well, we have to change that, because on the day of Pentecost and thereafter, they were all together in one accord. And we see in Acts chapter 2, we are going to look there at verse 44. And all that believe were together and had all things common. And all that believe were together and had all things common. Now, today we have different types of people. We have first class, we have middle class, we have lower class. But in those days, and where God is concerned, there is no class. We are all one in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, let me just get that text for you to prove that we are all one. It's in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to read it there for you. Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, all those that have accepted Christ, all those that belong to Christ, are all one in Christ Jesus. And there is no first class, there's no middle class, there's no lower class, but we're all one, because you must get the scripture and underline it in your Bibles in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ. Are we all one in Christ today? Okay, how do you evaluate churches? Some of you think that because there's a big, nice, pretty church building, that that's the place you should go. But when you go to that church, very often there's a class bias because some people feel themselves better than others and they don't really greet you as they should. As a matter of fact, some churches you go to and the people have not been taught to greet each other because they don't understand that the body of Christ is a united, one accord body. And if you are one of the members, if you're visiting even, and you are a part of, you are still a part of the body because we are all one in Christ Jesus. And we have to get rid of the prejudices that we have in our churches today. If we are going to see a difference, and if we're going to understand the value of the church is a united, one accord body. Let me just give you some things that you may need to look at about the church. The church first is the worship body. And in St. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 24, we hear the word says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we unite together to worship God, and that is why that's the first thing we do, to give, to send up our worship to God, because the word says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So as we worship God, we give praises to him, we give salutation to him, we come to praise him, we come to let him know that we love him, we come to let him know that we are really there for him, and we send our praises up, and as our praises go up, oh, the blessings come down. So that's the first reason. The church is not a building. The church is a body of believers. The church is a teaching body, because when Jesus arose from the grave in Matthew 28:19-20, he says, go and teach all nations. Are we doing that? The reason why there is a lot of problems in our fellowships today, our churches today, is because we do not understand the command to teach each other. And so people come into the church and they're not well taught. We have new converts coming to the church and we don't recognize them to teach them the word. We just want to make sure that they are included and they are, and that they pay their tithes. That is not the only reason for people. We have to realize that we have to teach all nations. We have to teach people how to follow Christ. Because when the church, when the early church Christians were called Christians, it was because that Paul and Barnabas went to the and taught a whole year. They taught the people, and when they were finished, the people were behaving like Jesus, and they were able to say, these people are like Christ, so they are Christians. So it's important to know that teaching is important. The church or coming together is to be because we teach people. And then the church is a given body. In St. Luke 6:38, the word says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So we see if we give, it's going to be given back to us. So as we give, we're going to see our blessings return to us. And the church is a praying body. In St. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, we hear the word say, men ought always to pray that and not to faint. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, prayer without ceasing. So we have to be in an attitude of constant prayer where we are talking to God in our spirit, in our minds. We are talking to God continually. And we are, when people say, pray for me, we can open our mouths and pray for them. And the church is a ministering body because we have to minister to the needs of each other. The word says, if there's any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him lay hands on him, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. So we see that if there is a problem, a medical problem, the first thing we really should do is to call on the elders. The elders should be so equipped to pray for people in the church. And you say, well, So it's important that we understand that the church is a ministering body. We minister to the needs of our people, the physical needs, if they're sick, with the financial needs, whatever their needs. The church has a responsibility. As long as you're a member of a church, they have a responsibility to look after your needs. So we want to be able to see what does the Bible say about the church. And we have to look at Hebrews chapter 10. And what I want you to look at is Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to look at it in the New International Version. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as the day approaches. Okay, we see that verse. Let us not give up meeting together. All right? Let us not give up meeting together, the word says in the NIV. And in the King James Version, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. The value of the church is to cater to people. We have to be able to provide fellowship, to provide companionship, to provide friendship. Oh, let brotherly love continue. You know why? Because Jesus said in St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Have you got that love one for another? Have you got that love today? And because the scripture in James chapter 2, verse 14 said, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save you? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it have no works, is dead. So we see that the word warns us about not giving to the needs of the brethren, that we need to be able to understand the responsibilities in the church to helping those in need. We need to understand the responsibility of giving, because if every one of us were to give to the needs of the brothers and sisters in the church would not have such a bad reputation, because there are so many churches that their members are hungry, destitute, and have got to go to sinners and to do things. So we have to recognize that it is not just coming to church, but the church is also a fellowship in body, as we see here that the word says that we should not let us not give up meeting together. That is because the church is a fellowship in body. And as a fellowship in body, we need to cater to each other's needs. We need to love one another, because love is not just, love is a requirement of the believer. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Do you have love? Well, then you are going to give. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we have to love each other. The value of the church is because the church is a fellowshipping body. It's a loving, one accord body. It's a ministering body. It's a praying body. It's a giving body. It's a teaching body. It's a worshiping body. So we have to be able to understand that the church, what the church is. The church is not a building where you go to hear somebody preach down to you. The church, that is not what the church should be. The church is a body where we come together to fellowship, where we come together to seek out companionship, where we come together to be a part of each other's lives, and that we are dependent upon you. So let us understand the value of the church. And as there's the value in the church, we go to church. It's important. You can't stay at home and watch your TV and think that God is going to bless you. No, you have to be able to come to church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Right now, I'm going to pray for you that God gives you the courage to be obedient to him and do the things that you will have, that he will have you to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, for all those listening to me today, let your Holy Spirit minister to them that they would understand that they need to love, and love is a doing word, Lord, and love is giving, love is sharing, and they need to give and share to those in need, especially in the household of faith. You said do good to them, especially of the household of faith. So we are depending upon you to open the hearts of your people that they will understand the need to give and to share and to help each other within the body of Christ. We just thank you, Lord, for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to hear.